also plug this to come to say Shalom Loshin, the Torah any time. Thank the Rabbeinu Shalom. The time is now. Thank the Eibishter. We're going to talk a little bit about the Tosin and the Eibishter. Tosin and the Eibishter. Yes, Mitzrayim, now is the biggest day of Ratzon. Now it's alive. It's in the Parshas. You're Machazik and Amunah now. These days, you're Machazik and Amunah. You learn those Parshas. They should be real, real. Yes, Mitzrayim. I just had somebody that they called me up 3 weeks ago. Somebody had a matzah. He's totally out. No. And I said, no, betochen. Today I got the report. There has been the person starting to move and to respond and to chop. They don't believe it because you have betochen, you get Yeshua's. No, shidduch, a girl, 29, I think. They did something in betochen a few months later. A kala. Another one from Eretz Yisrael. I went to the, he told me to come to the chasana. And this girl, what she did, they're giving me credit. I think the girl, she started making, before she met the chasana, she started making, preparing dishes for the tanoim. She started baking all the, before she met him. Ha! Ah, Madregis and betochen. And she said, I was there at the chasana, such happy people, from Yerushalayim. By the way, they gave me $500. Anybody interested in getting Yeshua's? Doesn't hurt. I don't ask for money, but, I take it. I have a shita, loilam tikos. Loilam tikos. I have a Kabbalah for my Rebbe. Loilam tikos. We're in Parshas B'Shalach Tavshin Pei Aleph, Rabbi Say, Yoim Aleph. Pleasure to have you here. We have a packed house already. It's all packed. They don't know anything. There were only four people. I'm joking, Rabbi Say. So get the packed house. It's packed with the Eibishter. How could you feel alone when you have the Rabbeinu Shalaila? How could you ever feel alone? There's a story with a, I don't believe he was Jewish. I think he's the person who discovered the South Pole. And he was alone. And the story goes, if I have all the details, in a freezing South, it's crazy cold, the weather is merciless, it's a Shrek to live there, it's impossible. And he, the Eibishter makes penguins over there, and they have a ball. Penguins are doing fine, freezing. They're good. Maybe she gives them padding, and they fly around, and they're happy creatures. It's unbelievable. Gives them plenty of fish to eat. They roll on their bellies. They have nice big bellies. They look like tuxedos. The penguin looks like he's wearing a tuxedo. Why? You know why he has a tuxedo? He has one enemy, the lion seal. He loves to fress them up. And these penguins, they hang around this icy area. There's no food. There's no trees. There's no grids. Where do they live off these penguins? They take a dive into the cold water. They don't mind it because Hashem gives them all the padding they need to withstand the most impossible cold, icy cold. And they're fine. They love it. Hashem made them like that. I once had, right here in Lakeland, I don't know, it's Tzar Balachayim, they took one of these husky dogs. Half wolf, half dog, whatever, one of those. The owner said he don't like it so much over here. He's got too much fur. He don't belong here. They put him in the house with air conditioning. When it's hot, he's not comfortable. Because the Eibishter made him have fur because he lives in cold places. And the Eibishter gives every individual exactly what he needs. And what I need for me, I need a shar b'tochen, and that's my Gan Eden. Shah B'Tach, Eibishter gives me plenty of that stuff and sweet people to talk to, holy Jews. They listen to this Heilige stuff. This is my Ga'ilam Habba. Shah B'Tach. Anyway. The one says, Rabban Kudla, give a vad and Musa. He takes the Shar B'tachin and he told stories. That was the Musa, Rabban Cutler, when he gave a vad. What did he pick out of all the Musa's for him? Chavis Havavis. And what did Chavis Havavis? Shar B'tachin, Rabbi say. Shar B'tachin, Gan Eden HaTachin, enjoy. And all your problems go in the garbage. You stop worrying about everything and anything. And you're happy exactly the way it is. I have the Yavish that don't bother me. I need... What do Hashem roi loy echzor? You're not missing anything. You have the Gemeine Shalalam. You have the Yavish that what more do you need? Anyway, so why do they look like tuxedos, these creatures in the South Pole? There's thousands. They cuddle together. They're nice to each other. You know, they whistle. They have to find each other. It's the husband, the wife... They have deals with each other. One goes walking, I don't know, for months. He rolls on his belly after time and he disappears, walks miles, and he goes into the water and he freshes up a half year food supply, a couple of months of food. And then he comes back and his Rebbetzin's waiting for him. Rebbetzin, I'm here! How does he notice? Thousands of them bunched together, these penguins. The thousands. They warm up against each other. And you know what they do? Ah! The Avish gives them the seichel. Now you go. You go in the middle. You go in the middle. It's warmer over there. I'll stand by the side. And they keep switching around. Look at that. They have a certain benevolence between each other. I don't know. There's something about them. They stand upright. That's an Odom. Stand straight. I don't know what. They're not an Odom, but there's something there. Whatever, the Eibishter has billions of reasons. Well, you're dealing with the Eibishter. What Eibishter? Hey, there's no one like him. Ain't sure, Kelly Kano! These beautiful creatures, these penguins. So why is he black on the back? And why is he white on the bottom? So because when he takes a dive to fresh up food, he eats and eats lenetzach. And the ocean is teeming with fish and all kinds of creatures, water creatures that he loves. Ice cream! That's his ice cream. He loves it. He eats his head off. And then he comes out. He's all, no more food for a few months. The food's sitting on him. He'll be fine. He's not worried. So, but anyway, what does he need that, those colors for? I'll tell you why. Because the leopard seal's out to kill him. Leopard seal, that's his food. And so when the leopard seal's on the bottom, you don't see him because he thinks the top of the water is white. The sky's up there. So he's got a white belly. So you don't chop that there's a penguin over there. You don't chop, the leopard seal don't chop. So he's protected. And if the lion, what do you call it? The leopard seal is on top of him, he doesn't notice him either because his top is dark. He's got a dark, so he looks at the tuxedo color, white and black. So he needs to be white in the belly and dark on the top. So the leopard seals don't see him from the bottom because he looks like the bottom of the ocean. And they don't. And if the leopard seal's underneath him, he don't see him either. He thinks he's just part of the whiteness that's on top of the water. Look at that. And you know how they get to see each other? They whistle. And there's thousands, a thousand of them together, bunched together. And each one has his own whistle. And his Rebbetzin hears the whistle, I'm coming, blah, blah, blah. And he has an egg, they take the egg, ach, nice. And the egg goes from one pouch to the other. If they let the egg be exposed 1 second to that freezing weather, the egg's dead. The new babala is finished. So they know they shift it one into the other guy's pouch. And then their mother's milk is, now the babala goes, the mother has a certain tongue, a special type of tongue, I forgot how it goes. It's a whole, there's a reason for this. And there's some milk inside the mother's mouth. And the baby tap taps and gets the milk. I don't know what I say. Hey, sure, Kelikano, look what we have, the Abishta, look who he is. What he can do, he can give you everything in the world. The Abishta can give you everything. Don't stop. Reb Nosson Bach Feigl told me, "Los dich stop the tate, alles get the tate. Don't let your father go and give you everything. Don't be a spoil. If you fall down here and you're in the garbage can, you can't find the shit on, so you don't, you have problems with anger, with kedusha, with learning, with Don't chapas pilas. Keep davening. You'll get everything. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. I had this. I once had a situation that was hopeless. And I got from all them gudel, don't stop. I didn't stop. And boom, everything turned around. But it didn't make no sense. You keep going and you'll get everything you want. I know a younger man. He had terrible shalom bias for, I just met the guy for years. I met him a couple of years ago. What he had, I revenged my worst enemies to have what he had. Whatever, I don't want to talk about the details. It was very, very unpleasant. It is an understatement what he had there. And there was no way out of it. His wife was, that was it. And he davened and 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 davened. And I met him just recently. What's the news with you? Oh, it's all turned around. Whoa, how'd that happen? Whatever. It's gone. He said, I kept davening. And I never gave up because I believed that davening must work. I had the same thing with my Rebbe Beza. Boy, boy, I'm sure Sacho, you keep davening, davening, nachamal, nachamal, yischar, gudel. Like the Mama Leah, she didn't stop, and she got everything. Okay, now, Rabbi Shai, we're hitting Shabbos Parshas B'Shalach. And I have sweet memories that I'd like to share with you. Of 30 years ago, there was the Gulf War. 30 years ago, we thought this Saddam Hussein, Yamach Shemai, was the president of Iraq. And he was a Russia Marusha first class who claimed to be a Gilgal of the Nebuchadnezzar of Russia. And either he knew history or whatever he said, good. I would suspect it's true. Nebuchadnezzar, when he was a little boy, his life's dream was to destroy Jerusalem. This guy, the same thing. His life's dream since he's a kid, destroy Jerusalem. That's his whole geshmak and leaven, to destroy Jerusalem. And Iraq is Babel. That's because that's his country. And what else with him? No one ever smiled under Chazal say, even though Chanetzah was king, no one ever smiled. And if he put you in jail, you never came out. There were two Jewish kings who were in jail, Yechonya, Melch Yehuda and Tzidkia Melch Yehuda. Both of them were in there 25, 35 years. He didn't let you out. He used to torture the kings every day. You know that? He had 70 kings under him. Every day he tortured a different king until he started up with Tzidkia. Then he got into trouble. Tzidkia was a tzaddik. He was the last king we had. Anyway, he started up with his own relatives. That's... You know, when Nebuchadnezzar was in Gehenna, all the Rishayim got petrified. Hey, we need him here too. We didn't have enough of him. And he's coming down here too. Nebuchadnezzar, they're all scared of him in Gehenna. Imagine. He was a beast. Nebuchadnezzar, Russia wasn't pushing. Anyway, so this Saddam Hussein considered himself. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Nebuchadnezzar lived up in some way up place. He was afraid people shouldn't get him. But I know that this guy, Saddam Hussein, lived under the ground. He had a whole palace over there under the ground with a pool, with bedrooms. I think the Germans built it for him. He had his whole figured out. No one started up with him. If anybody in the Olympic races, if an Iraqi, one of his, lost the race, you know, it's a bazillion for the country. He tortured the guy to death. What's going on here? He was such a Russia. He had two sons. They say his two sons outdid him. Each one was a Russia Marusha with no feelings, no heart. Look how a person can stoop so low. What became of this person? Anyway, he was going to attack Jerusalem. And how? He had chemical warfare. You know what chemical warfare is? I think they killed cockroaches with that stuff. It's the most grotesque, horrific death you can imagine. He killed his own Kurds. Kurdistan is part of, this is the Mun. This is one of our illustrious members of our, that's right, we have Rabbi Yudman. And Jack, but you're not near Jack. Okay, but the evidence also good. Anyway, So what happened? So So he wanted to attack Jerusalem. Now, the chemical, he destroyed 100,000 Kurds. There are cemeteries, thousands of dead Kurds. He killed them all out, whatever reason, with chemicals. You know what that is? You know what they look like? What a torturous death they have to go through. The mouth is foaming with some purple-colored foam. Hashem Yirachem. He wanted to send that to Israel. And they had to put on gas masks. All over Israel, they were wearing gas masks. And they were scared. I heard some people cut their beards so they'll be able to fit there. It was so scary. If that any bit of that went into you, you had to get, I think, 12 different shots. And then, it has to be done like this. And then Alavai, we can say, I once read about it, it's crazy complicated. The refuah, if you get some of that gaz that he was going to send to Israel. And he sent 39 scuds, these missiles. He sent 39. What did he do? So first of all, why do I want to mention this? First of all, the Mashkiach of Lakewood, I mentioned it to him and he said I was right. The biggest maifah since Mordechai, since the Purim story, is the Gulf War. It was such a maifah that you can't imagine. The Gulf War was out of this world. The Nisim that happened. What does he do? First, he attacks Kuwait before he's going to hit Israel. Kuwait is a tiny country that has no army, no nothing. It's not worth a dime, except it's loaded with money, with oil. Oh, wow. If he wants oil, because he wanted to get all the oil out of Kuwait and show what a tough guy he was. And he hung Kuwaitis in the streets. And he was a Russia, a tyrant, you know, to show who he is. And then America, you know, comes to money. Now, he wanted Israel's the next stop. He's going to destroy Israel with his Scud missiles. And America, guess who was president? The senior Bush. The senior Bush, I know, A-P-8 was an anti-Semite. Not the junior, the senior. The junior was different. The senior was a real anti-Semite. And he did not like Jews. And he, well, guess who did more than anybody for the Jews? Thank the senior Bush. He saved thousands of Jewish lives. The anti-Semite. You're afraid of Biden? You're afraid of the president? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? You want to see what the Ebster has a ball? His salalti b'mitzrayim. I'm making jokes. Ebster's just laughing at everybody. We were worried. You don't worry about nothing. Don't worry about COVID. Someone just called me about COVID. I says, guarantee you, nothing. And ask anybody. I'm always right. Oh, you know how many guys that pulled out of bed? They were in 3 weeks. They couldn't talk. I said, stop the baloney. Don't read the newspapers. You'll be better. Okay, look. Now, I'm not going against the whole world saying you shouldn't put on the mask. And people, those who do it, see, the Sherebis that hold like that. You follow whatever they tell you to do. I'm not telling anybody what to do. But not to be afraid, that's for sure. Yes, maybe you should take precautions. I'm not getting involved in that. But to be afraid? What are you afraid of? There's an Eibishter. And by the way, your fear comes from the newspapers. The more you read, you get the wrong doctor, he'll kill you. Even if you have nothing, you want to hear case histories of people walked out of a doctor's office that had nothing wrong with them. But when the doctor was finished scaring the daylights out of them, they were dead. He can kill you by the way he talks. I had this experience myself. I had a certain condition. I went to two doctors. The big one that everybody ran to in Staten Island, all the Frumian. He was the biggest news every year. He assured me, yes, you have it. I took 3 blood tests. You definitely have it. Yes, you have. I walked out of his blood, out of his office. I had all the symptoms of that disease. And I felt like 2 cents. And then I went to somebody here in Lakewood. I won't say his name because I found out later he wasn't such a great doctor. But at the time I thought, you know, he's a doctor. I went up to him and he sort of laughed off the whole thing. I walked out of his, he wasn't so serious about it. I walked out of his office. I was cured. How did that happen? He showed me the blood tests. You have it. You have it or you don't. You know how much is in the mind? Do you know how much is in the mind? You can't imagine. People, that's why I'm always screaming. I don't care how sick the guy is. I scream, the guy's fine. I met them all. You know, I feel better. I don't know what happened. Mandel just screamed at me that I'm fine. He said, well, I'm fine. You know, the person in the body, they said, a person's a kaif ba'alma. He's like a monkey. Whatever you feed him, that's going to be. You're fine? You're fine. That's why it's so important to keep telling yourself what a tzaddik you are. You might believe it, and that's going to do good things for you. When you believe you're a tzaddik, you become a different person. Anyway, don't listen to the HR that keeps telling you you're not worth a penny. Follow me. Rebel against that stuff. Go to the extreme. Even lie better, positive lie. Anyway, let's get back to the Gulf War. What a story. There was a lot of Torah written about Saddam Hussein. All the Yidden and Eretz Yisrael, for some reason, first they say, it's hard to believe, but they say 100,000 Jews went to the Kaisel to daven. As soon as I heard that, I said, forget it! The guy don't stand a chance! He gotta do it, he won't touch us! 100,000 holy Jews took a trip to the Kaisel to daven? Forget it! Saddam Hussein, you're wasting your time. Don't start up with these guys. 100,000 Jews. Goes, what are you talking? You don't forget it. Pack your bags. Retire. Get out while the going's good. 100,000. Plus, all the Jewish newspapers. And he was scary. We were petrified. Because he was a smart cookie. And America had a reputation of being a paper tiger. They're just finished with Vietnam and some other places where they try to have their influence. And they got nowhere. They made fools out of themselves. They try to make believe they won the war when they really didn't win the war. North Vietnam, right after the truce, the next day, North Vietnam climbed over the Zam and did whatever they wanted. Oh, yes, yes, we're at peace. So they got out with Henry Kissinger, Dalton, together with the president. Yes, we got out in peace. Yes. And what'd they get in there for? To make fools of themselves. So many American soldiers were captured over there. It was a mess. America was called a paper tiger. You're a big country, you don't do nothing. Israel! Oh, commando units, the Tsiyanim. Got an assignment, the Tsiyanim are little tough guys. Toughest little army in the Middle East, the Tsiyanim. Whoa! They go straight into enemy territory, they're not scared, they kidnap this big shot who's been controlling all these suicide bombs, and they capture him, and we'll finish him off. Israelis, blah, 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 the kids are. So they had a lot of gayus, you understand. Then funny, I forgot, it's the Avis, what he drained a cup. Whatever. So, what happened with Saddam Hussein? He decided he's going to attack Israel. And the Israeli pilots were ready to fly. Now, they were great pilots. And they had Phantom jets. And if they go, by the way, guess who got them the Phantom jets? Another famous anti-Semite, Nixon. Got them the Phantom jets. There you go. I remember I heard on the Phantoms to Israel. He said all over everybody, Phantom. What happened to you, President Nixon? It was all Shiloh. Should we give Israel? Phantoms to Israel. That was like Gandhi. What happened? Because Lei Malachim. You care who's in the White House? Was my nafka mina? You keep saying with your mouth, I have one president in Shemayim. I'll tell you one of my mics from over here. Somebody calls me up, Rabbi Mandel, what happened? My daughter just went to Gateshead, and as soon as she went, they locked the doors of all these schools over there in England. The president of England said, no, schools are closing. So I said, who's the president of England? So-and-so is, what is who? I have a president in Shemayim. I say it's open. The next day, Rabbi Mandel, good news. They opened the doors. Because Mandel, one of my big mifesim, I decided that the Abish is the president. You think, when you say that, you think you're just talking, you're babbling? You know, you think words are just, you know, you can say whatever you want. I said something. Abish heard that. He likes that.
Did ever saying that the Ulam was too big hair from Trump? Is that what they ever saying?
That could be. This the guy, we have a Tata and Shabayim. This the guy. We have a Tata, you gotta worry about, sit with him and don't worry about, no, wait till you hear this story. Wait till you hear this story. Wait till you hear the key players. Okay. Saddam Hussein started, so he started with Kuwait. They used to put in his brains, and America was watching. You know, he had such a reputation where he went to war for years and years against Iran. Iran and Iraq, killing each other by the millions. Holy wars, you know, by them, holy wars. It makes them feel important. Holy wars, Macha holy war. And the blood that's shed, it's crazy. I think America punked help Saddam Hussein those days. You know, politics makes strange bedfellows, you know. Mitt the mole. He's the bad guy, the good guy, or whatever it is. But the other guy was a Russian militia. Khomeini. Remember Khomeini? Not Tzaddik? Khomeini. Religious leader. Anyway. But he, from Iran, boy, he, anyway, so he said like this. So first he went to war against Kuwait. When he did that, President Nixon and President Bush didn't like that. There's a lot of money over there. You're going to take over all that money? No good. And you understand. The Welt is a Nimshel. The Welt is a Marshal. The Nimshel is Geld. You know that. It's all money. In the Bible, they used to say, Atavachatonu, guilt. Mikol Amin, guilt. Aftaisanu, guilt. Ratzisabaru, guilt. Remam Ton Mikol Hashanah is guilt. Kiyasharim Mitzri Sechar, guilt. Kiyasharim Makel Avida Sechar, guilt. Shivacha Galav Kedishalayri Karasa, guilt. Let's get to the point. It's all guilt. So, Bikitza, there's oil. It's an oil-rich country. It's a tiny, so America says, no. It doesn't pass for them to say we want money. They said, now look, you can't conquer Kuwait. Let them all Americans worry about Kuwaitis over there. They were big Rishayim, by the way. Kuwaitis were known. They have, in the telephone booths, they had stickers that said, give to Palestine liberation, you know, those guys that shoot Israel. They had their own, you know, he had them hanging in their capital city when he arrived in Kuwait. He tortured them one by one. They got what they would deserve. Whatever. But America's not going to let this happen. There's so much money. So, free Kuwait! We cannot allow a little country like Kuwait to be persecuted by Iraq. We're going to free Kuwait. And they made a whole coalition. America got together with England, France, Italy, Saudi Arabia, the whole group. We're going to fight. Free Kuwait together. America's the leader. Remember when it started, the beginning of January, and we nobody believed it would happen. Because America was like, I say, a paper tiger. How could they make a war? President Bush wants to go to war. He was a Republican. And the Democratic Congress, the Democrats are known to be peace-loving. They love peace. You don't go to war. Let the enemy kill you. Let him do what he wants. But you can't go to war. It's not right. No, it's not nice. You have to sit and don't do anything and let them kill you. So he had to get the Democratic Congress to agree to go to war. In the meantime, he's shooting scuds to Israel. So no, it's a freilich. The kids are, and so he said, it was all time. The Eibishter did a job. Did he do a job? The Eibishter did he do a beautiful job? He got into the brains of this Russia, Saddam Hussein, to show he's a strong man, a macho. You know, the Arabs, it's very important for them to be tough. That's part of that thing. One of them once said, they asked him, why are you such a Mr. Tough Guy? I think it was Nasser from Egypt. He says, if I wouldn't be like this, I'm out of business. Because they want Mr. Tough Guy who talks like he owns the world. You know, that's the way you have to be if you're an Arab leader. Okay, Shai. So he had to show the world who he was. So there was a big giant ship over there that was loaded with crude oil. You know what crude oil looks like? It's black. It's disgusting. It smells. We used to go, before the Verrazano, we used to go to New York along a route. We had to pass by near Staten Island. Somewhere there's an oil refinery area. Every time you got there, you had to close your nose. It was terrible. Till that oil turns into golden yellow oil, it starts out with black tar. Look at the Shrekless. You can't get near it. Anyway, so he spilled the unprocessed oil, the unrefined oil, into the Persian Gulf to show, you know, who I am. First, he put the fire, all these oil wells in Kuwait to show you all over the place. I'm boss around here. Burn up those oil wells. And then he goes ahead. He put mines all over the beaches of Kuwait. For years, people couldn't go to the beaches. He had mines. And you step and you explode. Hashem Yirachem. And the boats also in the area were in Sakana. Anyway, so what did he do? So they come to the, so what did he do? He let all that black stuff into the Persian Gulf. And the whole Persian Gulf turned black. And the wildlife was destroyed. There are pictures in all the newspapers of ducks struggling in the black, disgusting, tarish crude oil, and fish, dead fish all over. The Persian Gulf was a whole yam, and he destroyed it. When the Democrats saw that, oh, you don't do that. That's already, oh, no. Starting up with birds. They're killing people in Kuwait and hanging them. No. People have to understand. Oh, but you start up with birds? How can you do such a thing? Start up with birds, start up with fish. This is the Hebrew. It's no, that. So Bush, thanks to that, although the Democrats hated Bush, the Democrats, and they hated war, but when that happened, Bush won by one vote. I remember he was munching. So, are you with me on war? Are you with me on war? He had such a hard time. And he made it, I think, by one or two votes. I think one. He just made it. And he went to war. As soon as he went to war, the first thing he said was, Israel was all nervous because he started to shooting scuds at Israel. He says, Israel, don't you get involved. Because the way I understood it, very simple. Israel was the big shot. With the commando units going into the enemy territory and doing these slick jobs. Where's that place of it in Africa? The place with Entebbe. What Israel, the Guns of Knackis, they know how to fight. Israelis are fighters. They know how to fight. Americans, so America didn't like that. North Vietnam, you lost the war, you messed up. America didn't like that. COVID. So, COVID. 19, a COVID 18. It's all COVID. Especially during my little moment, when my Shafan said, COVID. So America says, no, Israel, get back into those jet planes. They're waiting to go to war. The Israeli pilots, the best pilots in the world, they're well trained, years of training. These young, energetic, Zionistic guys were about to go fly over Iraq and drop some good bombs. I myself saw in the Six-Day War, the Israeli mirages. Those days didn't have phantoms. I was looking from my window, a rooftop, I think it was. I saw myself the way they bombed Jordan, the positions, where the smoke goes up. They zigzag there. It looked like balls of fire in the air. It's fire. This is not a regular plane. This is a fighter bomber. This plane is the zigzag. They don't want the anti-aircraft to get them. They go like this, and they zigzag. Next minute, you see smoke coming up, and they're zigzagging. They go, next, you go next. And I saw smoke going up all over the place. And one, if the ball of fire, like this, a jet. This is a war. Come inside, everybody. Enjoy. Come inside. We're talking about the Gulf War. You're going to have a ball over here. This is not Chayas. Anyway. So what happened? So they kept fighting. What happened? They're shooting scuds to Israel, and America is telling Israel, don't get involved in this war. We're gonna go fighting. You keep out. And it was that week of B'Shalach where it says, we learned about Hashem Yilachem Lachem Atem Tacharisha. Don't do anything. We're doing it. So we were pata. You know what they would do to an Israeli pilot if he jumped out and if they shot down a plane, and he came down with his parachute? You know what you know what they would do to him, Hashem Yirachem. And they couldn't go. They wanted to go. America says, we're going. So in all the newspapers and all the televisions, they had pictures of pilots, Nebuch, who were captured. Remember, there's a British guy, the whole world was talking about him. He looked so terrible, they captured him, the Iraqis. You know what Iraqis do with prisoners? It's on this visit. So Israelis were part of it. Anyway, in the meantime, the Scuds came flying to Israel. And inside of them, luckily, wasn't chemicals, but that, whatever it is, it's a bomb. You know what happened? There wasn't one death. One person was killed. It's Yedua. Machal Shabbos of Fahesia. Who got himself a banger. Ben Segel said he got his kapar. He got his kila. He got a banger. He hit the wall. He was dead. Machal Shabbos. He was a renegade against his... He lived in Bnei Brak. He went against his parents. Became a guy. Against the shame. But outside, nobody got killed. I saw pictures in all the newspapers with all the homes were smashed. Now this is Ramat Gan and Tel Aviv. Bnei Brak, nothing happened to Irat Taira. You know that? Now I want to tell you, before the war started, all the Bnei Brak and Rosh Hashivas, they were having a ball. There was so much betachon going on. They were writing things. They were making gematrias with Saddam Hussein's name, how he's not worth a penny, and we won already. The betachon was everywhere. A lot of funny stuff. Your wine tribe camp, Reb Chaim Kanevsky said, oh, the gas mask, save it for Purim. Everybody else, they were laughing at it. It was betachon all over the place. The Yidden simply weren't scared except for me. I was scared here like crazy. I had my daughter was there, my son alone, and I was petrified and I downed my head off. And I saw as soon as I finished davening, things started getting better. So I'm taking credit for the whole thing. But later I found out there were some more people who also get credit. But I thought I was the whole hero for many years until recently somebody told me, Bishop Yisharev also did what you did. Oh, anyway, I'm sure everybody did it. But everybody should take credit. That's what I hold. Everybody has to take credit. I'm the guy that made the issue. Anyway, then you'll feel good. By the way, my class, I had on the blackboard, I had pictures of missiles. When the kids davened good, boys, we're going to win the war! And I put pictures of missiles next to the names of the boys in my class. Yeah. Pictures of missiles, and daven hard, and boom! And I, right after we finished davening, I called up, what's the latest news? They just wiped them out. They just killed some more Iraqis, you know. It always fit in. Like I saw, I was controlling, remote control. The war was I was the man doing the job. The Baal Betachon. Yeah, Betachon, you're in charge. And guess who's helping you win? Not one person should get killed. And guess who's helping you win? Who's this president, the biggest anti-Semite? And who is the general? Schwarzkopf. Schwarzkopf was as big as a bear, tall, big, heavy fellow. He was a five-star general, an anacle of Nazis. He was the guy that saved Israel. Thank you so much, General Schwarzkopf, for saving us. So you got one anti-Semite, another one, an anacle of Nazis. Then we got a fellow named Mitchell. He was the speaker of the minority. There's a speaker of the, what did he call him? The minority leader. There was the State of the Union address. President Bush got up and made a whole drasha about what was going on. So the minute is what he leaves out, the minority leader, he tells him, no, you left out this. So this Mitchell told him off, Israel is our best friend. You know who that Mitchell was? An anacle from Arabs in Lebanon. That's Mitchell. That's who he, how do you like that one? So we have three of the three players. Guess who made us win? You're afraid who the president is? This is my nafkamina. You stay, if you focus only on the Yevishta, and you just stop being, don't be afraid of nobody. Be afraid of the Yevishta. You know, the Saddam Hussein was scary. They were so scared of him. You know what he did, this Heberman? He had 12 people get plastic surgery. They should look exactly like him. So just in case somebody tries to assassinate him, they'll get the wrong Saddam Hussein. There's 12 of them. So you got it. So he had them walking around, and their life was in constant sakana because they looked exactly like him. They had plastic surgery. And he, they told a story of once where he went ahead and he had a parade in Baghdad. He had a parade, and there were these 12 limousines were going down the road, and they were marching. And where was the real? These 12 guys were all Saddams, fake Saddams. Nobody knew who the real one was. So where was the real one? They say behind the whole parade, there was a bus. And the bus driver was the real guy. He was watching the whole parade. They were petrified of him. He was a ganze kluge. Boy, they did a job on him. They finally got him. And like, here's the Messiah, all those scuds, nothing, they didn't explode. There was Nisim. And the Messiah of the they didn't have to go to war, they have to do anything. And Rav Nosson Bachfeigel, I mentioned it, and he said it was 100% true. This was the biggest nest since the nest Purim. I remember this week, B'Shalach, when he came out, the president said, Israel, don't do nothing. We're going to do everything. And that was Hashem, Yilachem, Lachem, Atem, Tacharishan. It was Meredith. David said, let the guy, and 36 studs was, 39. That's Malchus. You know, they make such, it was Meredith. It was not Namal. So that's the thing. That's a mitzvah to talk about it. Now, I tell you, when you talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, your whole life talking, you come into your house, somebody said, I had a brother-in-law. His name is Malka Feda, Belzer Kossuth. Tzaddik Yisrei, never saw a woman in his life. Real tzaddik. In his house, all he said was, Tzigit. That's all he said. That's what you got to say your whole life. What do you talk about when you come home? What happened here? You want to show how smart you are? You know what happened to so-and-so? This guy got killed. What are you going to... You know, who's the president? My nafkamina. You look at the house and you say, it's so good to be alive. I'm home. I have 2 feet and they're working. And the hands and the heart and the lungs. I'm so happy to be alive. You got to sit on that your whole life. You know what Isaac Shev says? I'll call Neshima, Neshima Taloka on every breath. You have to be, sing hollow to Hashem. Every breath, sing! It says Rabbi Isaac Sher, God's hollow, you gotta say. You know, Rabbi had an issue. I have that issue too, by the way. I really do. I have an issue in my life. I also have issues. Why should I be left out? Everybody's busy. They call me up daily. You want to know my latest issues? I never talk about them. Bashita, you want to hear some gory stories, what's going on? The weird... all kinds of machlis and relationship. Zach and this guy just called me up. Woo! I will not say any details. Why? Because I don't think it's fair. You're going to see a wrong picture of what the world's all about. You're going to see how terrible the world is. This problem, that, but it's exciting. People, I'm going to be an interesting guy. I'm going to get a lot of covet for telling you, that's what I say it is. You have to tell other people's service that makes you happy. The volcano over there in Mount Washington. And you hear about the mudslide there in South America. And how about the hurricane? Oh, there was a tsunami. That's all you can talk about. Only kidnapping. They're this guy, Nebos. You don't have this so-and-so. That's what people love, the COVID. You know how much it's killing? Do you know that they said... I don't know the statistics right now. Grada, there is someone supposed to come here soon to say a few words to get the Olam a little bit. There's going to be an Atzeres, and Tfilah for Yin and Eretz. All people are dying, but we want to daven for them, 100%. But when the first time when people ask me about COVID, what do you say about COVID? COVID-19, you're asking an Avardigo what he thinks of COVID. Wait, that's COVID, the Messiah is on the Olam. But I said, I'm too busy talking about health. I'm too busy talking about this guy's, all the hearts are working here, Baruch Hashem. No. All the lungs, the stomach, ooh, it's a great news. You know what stomachs can do? They can get a hold of Jack's. You know, I want to get money from Jack Daniels. I hold, he gives man. Jack, I did more for Jack than anyone else. But now I'm going to say something. Jack's going to disown me. I poked like vodka better than Jack. Don't tell Jack what I just said now. Now it's over. You just blew it. You could have been, I got something. Anyway, I'm joking. Amaisa, you have to be so happy to be alive. Every minute you're alive, you can see, you can talk, and the Abishna gives so much nisim. Don't record. Listen to this. I don't say too much Torah around here. If you want to hear my Torah, get a hold of B'tochen Weekly. It's a pack. All my stuff is in there. But you want to hear a little vod, I'll tell you. Yosef HaTzadik, when he was standing with that Nasayan, and they want his Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was about to, he had Eshes Potifar in front of him. What saved him? He saw a picture of his father who loved him. He called Bono. Remember your 10 brothers who tried to sell you, who hated you? They weren't kids. They were Gedolei Yisrael. You know, these people were giants. The one who sold you, Yehuda, you know who he was? A Malach Hashem Tzvokais. You know what Yisachar was? Zvulun, Don, Naphtali, God. You know who Yishim and Alevi were? They were kids. They held your apostle, Yossi, out of the family. Death sentence. Now, how would you like it if the whole Jewish world has just disowned you and decided the death penalty you deserved? And by lucky streak, they sold you as a slave for 10, how much, 20 pieces of, how much did he cost? It was a bazillion, how little they sold him for. That made it even worse, his whole matzah. To Mitzrayim, Makom, Shtufei Zima. That's what they, look what they did. Look what they did to him. I'm asking a question. Did Yosef HaTzadik walk around thinking about the past or not? I know one thing. His first son, his name was Menashe. Kinashani Elikimi. Forget, thank you for making me forget all my tzaras. That's what he named. No? What do you say to that one? He didn't remember the Shvatim hating him. He wasn't into that stuff. You ruined my life. When I was a child, what you did to me, I can't forget that. That was traumatic. Now, I want to say something. There are people who need to remember their past. You need an other hush of a person to decide how to deal with it. Half the people I know are kvetching about something that happened when they were younger. And because of this, I'm this. And because of that, I'm that. So I want to tell you something. What did they say in the Vardig about that? Now, should you think, sometimes it's kedai. I don't want to get involved. Why? It's not for here. I can tell privately why some people should get involved in the negative part of the past. Sometimes they need to do that. There's reasons for it. But Yosef HaTzadik forgot all that stuff. But he remembered his father loved me. That's all I remember. And that saved him. He was positive. He didn't tell Eshes Potifar, you want me to do this sin? Do you know what's going to happen to me if I do this sin? Your husband's going to throw me in jail, which is exactly what happened. He didn't say that. Why didn't he say that? Why didn't he say that? That would have been the obvious thing. I don't want to get thrown in jail. I'll tell you why. He simply wasn't afraid. I'm afraid of jail? Me? I don't know what fear means. When she told him, you know, I'm going to break your back. That's not a problem. Hashem Zekif Kefufim. I'm going to blind you. That's no problem. Hashem Pakech Ivrim. I'll sing again. Hashem will take care of that one. I'll throw you in jail. That's no problem. Hashem Matir Asurim. So he said openly, I'm not scared of that stuff. Yosef HaTzadik was not afraid of being thrown in jail. Right? And he was not afraid. So what did he say? There's nobody in this house better than me. I can't do that stuff. See the way he thought his whole life. The dreamer. I'm taking over the world. He kept those dreams going his entire life until they came true. When he was in jail, he was big. He was the big shot. When he played Tifar, I'm the biggest. He talked to Hashem every move he made. So he had He was a major success, and he remembered his success. That's all he talked about. Think positive, talk positive, be happy, don't look for trouble. Anybody want to hear some of my latest mifsim? You want to hear something? I told this to somebody. I told somebody that he had a job, a temporary job, with somebody he had to meet with regularly. I remember the details, but it wasn't simple. This person was mamish. You're dealing with an animal. It's so hard to work with him, and I don't know what to do. It's driving me nuts. I told him like this. Listen to me. You have to work on your own egos. You have to work on your own egos. Forget about the guy. Do the job! And he said, I hate working there. No. Learn to give in. I told him all the Nevadiga stuff. Nevadigas always believe, I'm the wise guy over here. And just work on your own cause and give in to the guy and be done on the cops. But he acts like such an animal. Be done on the cops. He's a good guy. He doesn't mean it. And he really likes you. Don't look at him again. But he said this. Hey, he talks like that to his wife too. No, it's nothing. Don't take him. I don't remember the details, but that's basically. He calls me up. He never had such a good time in his life. Everything worked like Gan Eden. Because he was busy working on his midas, and he started enjoying lurking this person and this chus, that he overcame his midas. He got another job, a permanent job, that he was unexpected. This is what happens. I want to tell you something. I don't want to get into details, but people are calling me left and right. Listen to this. And they're telling me, Rabbi Mandel, we need a Yeshua. There's something wrong. Here, there, health, family issues, can you help us? I ask him a question. This happened, one after another this happened. Did you ever call me before? Yes, we did. How long ago? A year ago. What happened? You had an issue then too? Oh yes, it was terrible. And what happened? Well, right after your bracha, everything turned around. I promise you, it's happened one after another. And serious problems. Overnight. You gave a bracha away. Now, what are you calling me for me to help you out with your next problem? You didn't say a word about your past. Now, you want to say, how about saying, I don't talk the way I'm talking to you. I'm not as mean to people. Because I know we're all the same. You can't have tightness on nobody. I, the Emmis, have no tightness on these people. Because we are all, it's very, very, very hard to be truly grateful and to remember the good part of your life. It just goes over your head. You don't have a head. Your head's totally involved in your next issue. Whoever's calling me, I know what they're calling. All the people, I know them like a book. Guess what happened wrong today? Now, wait a minute. What about those 10 mifsim you had last week? Yes. What about those 10 mifsim? Now, if they're not telling it to me, it happened one after another. It was Haka Mifus Goli. So I said, why don't you talk about that all day? Davis the sees you're thankful for all the good things he does to you. He's going to continue. When you tell a student, you have a boy in your class. I'm an educator. You tell the student, you don't do well. You made a lot of mistakes on that last test. You're not a good student. The next time he takes a test, what's going to be? He's going to be all right, or he's going to give up. And when you encourage a child, you tell him, you're doing such a beautiful job. And you tell him only positive. He feels good, and he's going to go for the Kav Yochel Deibish. Is the same way the Zohar HaKadosh says, "What by Hagodesh Shel Pesach, Hagodesh Shel Pesach, my dear Rabbi Yisai, Hagodesh Shel Pesach." What do you say that for? Deibish, you did this. Deibish, you did that. You're so wonderful. You know what that does? That makes Hashem do much more good things. Every time Jews say the Hagodah, they're turning over the world. They're bringing goodness throughout the Bria. You walk into your house and you talk about the goodness in your life. I'm lifting this hand. I'm calling my wife. Rabbitin! Yes. Do you know what's happened just now? What? I lifted this hand. And look, the fingers are all working. And, ooh, this one too. Hey, I could put on, you know, I don't have chas v'shalom. There was a yid, his name was Rabbi Kahn. Zatzal. In his later years, he went to Chevron, an American who went to Chevron. A sweetie, was he a delicious person. He never had a stroke. Half his body was like, I once saw in the middle in the street, his wife had to run over to him and do everything. He couldn't do nothing, Nebuch. He told me he woke up one morning and half his body stopped working for the rest of his life. I don't like to talk about such stories, but I have to. Every time you get up, say thanks a million. Everything's moving and working. I'm breathing. The heart's moving. It's great. Amish, the thanks a million. And say it all day long. Don't stop with that. Rekisa Bayam Valila. Bishop Rebbe said, what was his issue? How do you thank Hashem enough? I can't thank you enough, Amish. There's so much going. People get lost, sidetracked. Yeah, but now we have Parnosa. We understand. People on the Shainas, you can't judge other people. No way. Let them crutch. So they're not talking Lashon Hara. Nothing wrong with crutching. No. Some people feel good when they crutch. No, I'm going to stick up for all the crutches in the world. But I just want to say, it's preferable not to do that. All crutches, we understand, we're all the same. You crutch without realizing it. You know that you crutch, your brain is full of... What happened yesterday? Did I make a good impression? Most of the kvetcherai is covered. Am I making a good impression of this guy? This guy looks like he's falling asleep on me. Hey, you guys inside the Torah anytime. Are you guys taking out pillows just because I can't see you? You're going to be doing that stuff behind my back? You think? I'm joking. You think I don't have Ruach HaKadosh? I know exactly how many people are watching me. I'm staggering. I'm a great guy over here. Hey, all you guys, you think I don't know that you guys are snoring on me? And this time your son didn't come along to hear me? How come he didn't come this time? He was absent. Hey, my cover's at stake. I got to tell my wife how things are going. Terrible. The guys don't like me anymore. People who are into COVID, that's what it's all about. You know, I was in my class recently, and in comes a photographer to see Rabbi Mandel with his students. So I walked over, my kids ran over to me, and I'm holding their hands, and they're cuddling, and they're smiling, and I'm looking like a real great guy. I'm like a Shmacka Rebbe over here. And I picture, I'm going to be in the newspapers tomorrow, with the other Rebbe, with this Rebbe. They all look the same. They all look like the world's, you know, great. And I picture one of the Rebbeim who just yesterday told me, Rabbi Mandel, the chutzpah that these kids have. Rabbi Mandel, I can't deal with them. Gosh, I go home every night and my pillow is wet and the kids, but in the picture, and everyone's looking at the picture, ooh, who's that really smiley kid? Oh, that's the kid that's never failing. He's going to be left back next year. Oh, you know, people are living in Dimyon. They don't live with the truth. They look at pictures. In the Yated pictures, look at him. They're all at the best behavior. They're all smiling. And you think all the lucky guys and I'm the Nebuchs. You know how much Nebuchs are going on with them? They don't tell you. Envy is ignorance. Don't fall for that stuff. I am the luckiest guy in the world. The Elam is serving this stuff. My mouth is watering for some more mashke here. Let's get some. Okay, we'll get some of this. L'chaim, Rabotai. One l'chaim of me. Bourbon is going to bring great things for everybody, Be'ez Hashem. Give everybody a bracha. Give me a bracha that my track record with Mifsim should skyrocket. I don't know how better it could get. I'm already batting 1,000. Like, I'm a Rebbe, I'm an Admor of Admor. I'm serious. You want to know how many cases I had that? Just every day I get called. I get one after another, thanks a million, everything's fine, or big improvement. This happens all day long. All I know, I'm going to tell you one of my secrets. If something is not successful, no one's ever going to hear about it. Eli Hayim Al Chayim Shachar Midvari. Lechayim, lechayim, lechayim Taim. You want me to stop? That's enough. Speaking my head off already. Pleasure to see you guys, and I give every.